There are certain questions that seem to come to mind this time of year. For some of you, it's, what are we going to be able to eat? But those aren't the ones I was thinking of. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Is one question. And some are saying, there's no good reason to, so don't. Another question is, how should we celebrate Christmas? And I understand that recently the University of Tennessee has listed on their website a number of expectations of how Christmas ought to be celebrated so that it is not offensive to anyone. And this is literally so, and they have since taken it down because they got a lot of flack. They basically said, don't let your holiday celebration become a Christmas celebration. Because they wanted, you know, and then when they go through and list all the different things, there was an incredible amount of inconsistencies. They said, don't bring up any religious aspects, but if you have a potluck and you can bring something that has some religious significance, then you can tell people about it. But it had just previously said, don't. So a lot of issues there. And just this past week, I think the newspaper had an account about a certain school in town having a Christmas tree and a certain rabbi in town having issues with that. And then if you think about it, the Christmas tree has nothing to do with the Christian celebration of Christmas. So I'm still struggling with trying to figure that one out. But as you may also know, this is the 50th anniversary of a Charlie Brown Christmas. And that brings up the question again of how to celebrate this special season. And the concern there was with getting to the heart of what is Christmas all about? I think Charlie Brown wanted to know, and Linus fortunately was there to help him sort that out and read the Christmas story and said, and that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And that was 50 years ago, and what was interesting in the article that I read in the paper, and some of you may have read it as well, is that it was controversial back then as to whether or not to include the reading of Scripture on television. And Mr. Schultz had to resist a significant amount of pressure to remove that part of the script, but he was adamant that it was going to remain in, and turns out that was the best part of the program. And without it, it would be completely meaningless, as many things today would be when you remove God and certain things from that equation. But did you know that historically the birth of Christ was not celebrated at all until AD 336, in the time of Constantine, probably due to the influence of his mother, Helena, who is also credited with identifying many of the sites in Israel as to where certain things had taken place. And it is still apparently debatable as to whether Constantine himself was a Christian, but he did make it possible for Christianity to no longer be the object of persecution at that time, and it was a later emperor who formally made it the official religion of the empire. But the celebration of Christmas was actually the combining of a desire to celebrate the birth of Christ with a contemporary pagan holiday called Saturnalia, also referred to in other places as Yule Day or Child's Day, and the evening before that was known as Mother Night. And so you can see the connection of some of the things that are there. And of course, Scripture talks about the Queen of Heaven and Tammuz, which are associated with this cult. It was a Babylonian cult associated with Nimrod, going back to Genesis chapter 10. And they chose that date because it was convenient, because there was a connection. This mother-child cult was celebrating on the 25th of December, and so it was convenient to take that. And their intention was to Christianize it, and also to get more people to participate that way, because they're already participating. You just change the names, and presto changeo, it's the special holiday. The reality is that it is very strongly indicated by looking at the various elements of evidence that the 25th could not have been the time of the birth of Christ, which totally throws off all of our plans because we've already got it on the calendar. So what are we going to do? Because the shepherds would not have been out in the fields after late October. So it couldn't have been. So it's suggested possibly that it was more likely that it may have been in the fall. It may have been associated with the Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. When you think about John chapter 1, it talks about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. There's some possibility that that's associating and tying that together. And most likely, I mean, I know politicians today, we have observed, are not all that credible and come up with some really crazy things, but still, the likelihood is pretty good that they would not have suggested having a census in the winter, because their winters there are similar to our winters here. And it's just not a good time to ask everybody to pick up and go head somewhere else. So it was probably, in summer wouldn't have been a good time because it was too hot to travel. So more likely it would have been fall or spring, and the fall is when the Feast of Tabernacles was, and so it suggested that may have been the time that that would have taken place. But the reality is that now Christ's birth is tied to an existing pagan holiday that was an attempt to Christianize it. And so then the question is, well, whose holiday is it anyway? Is it theirs, the pagans, or is it ours? So, and when you think about the celebration of Christmas, how much influence has there been of paganism into the celebration of the holiday? Not just looking at the Babylonian cult that was initially tied to it, that then was carried over to Rome with Saturnalia, and then all the other different places, the Druids and the whatnot have yous, who have had other contributing factors in it, and various celebrations. Every country, every age has their additional things, and so on. And so paganism and Christianity have had this long, uneasy relationship pertaining the celebration of holidays, particularly Christmas and Easter. Both of them are tied to pagan celebrations of a previous era. And it started as an opportunistic syncretism in order to gain credibility, but it has become something of a culture war. And so here we are. And there are those who are lamenting today that we see stores celebrating or greeting with Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And my response to that is mixed. Because on the one hand, I know that it is true that we once had a more Christianized culture, and I am happy to have it stated, Merry Christmas. But I also realize that we are a pluralized society. We've got a lot of other influences, and Happy Holidays takes it in a little bit more. So I am not prepared to get on the bandwagon with American Family Association and wear the button that says, you know, Merry Christmas and all of that to make the, I mean, there's a sense in which you've got to choose your battles, and I'm not sure that's really the battle I want to choose, because there are so many other things that are far more critical that I think we really need to think about. But when we come to this period of time, this season of the year, we need to think about, okay, what do we celebrate? What are we celebrating? And on the other hand, I need to say, now, I don't have a problem with all of the trimmings and all of that, because it's really nice to have all the pretty things this time of year, because it's bleak midwinter, you know? I mean, just like the song says. So we need something to cheer us up. So I realize that historically it's not probably the right time, but here we are. We've got it. We've got to deal with it. So what we need to think about as believers, can we distinguish between the trappings, the cultural trappings, the things that have been tradition and all of that, and what is the heart of the issue? That's what I think Charlie Brown was wrestling with. You know, what is Christmas all about? And I wrestle with it from time to time when I see all of the stuff, all the commercialism. I mean, really, an aluminum Christmas tree? I'm with Charlie Brown on that. Snoopy is into it, but I just can't go there. But you think about what are we celebrating? I mean, the incarnation. That's why I like, you know, the incarnation celebration. It's got kind of a nice ring to it. But I don't think it's going to catch on. But I still think that's what we're celebrating. I mean, think about everything that's wrapped up in it. I mean, the hypostatic union, the relationship of God and man, and the significance of the timing, the historical elements, the impeccability of Christ, and the moral prescriptions that come from it. I mean, all of this. And then there's Santa Claus. Where in the world does Santa Claus fit into the equation? That's a whole other thing. I mean, there's a place. I understand how it fits. But all of this. So what was Mary's response when she recognized, after she had initially been told, if you look at Luke chapter 1, where she had been told by the angel, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I mean, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. I mean, it certainly encapsulates a huge amount of Old Testament prophecy and all of that. Well, then she goes and visits Elizabeth, and after the visit there, Elizabeth has a few words to say and ends with, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then Mary responds, and verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." What's the emphasis there? What was she celebrating? Well, she was amazed that God would consider her. So she evaluated her lowly estate, and she looked at the high place of God, so she kind of put things in perspective. And that's what she basically was doing right off the bat. It's like, who am I? And who is he? And what is he doing? And then she kind of emphasizes the mightiness and the mercy of God and his justice and his righteousness and the fact of his fulfillment of the things that he had promised to Israel and to Abraham. And the focus is on God. And what is our focus when it comes to celebrating Christmas? I mean, it's the lights, it's the greenery, it's the wonderful stuff. That's all part of it. But think about, what are the aspects? Some years ago, a journalist by the name of Peggy Noonan wrote a piece about a young girl who became pregnant in high school. And that was at a time when it wasn't so common. And she noted that when she completed high school and graduated while being obviously pregnant, the crowd cheered and applauded when she went up to get her diploma. I would like to think it was because she finished in spite of being pregnant, not because she was. But that's part of the issue. And so the comment then, as Peggy Noonan was talking about this, and this was apparently when she was more conservative than she is now, from what I understand, to encapsulate it in a couple of sentences or a couple of phrases, think about it in this way. You influence by what you tolerate, but be careful what you celebrate. What were they celebrating at that time? You influence by what you tolerate, but be careful what you celebrate. And that applies to a lot of things that are going on today in our world. A lot of things are being celebrated that probably ought not to be, or most surely ought not to be. But it makes us think about, well, what is it that we're celebrating? Can we distinguish? Can we wade through all the stuff and celebrate the right things? Or at least distinguish, this part of this holiday time is traditional, cultural, seasonal, whatever. But this part is different. We just happen to celebrate at this time, but this is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Can we keep that distinction in our minds? And so we want to pick up on that final phrase that Peggy Noonan had in that article, be careful what you celebrate in the process of things. Because what we want to celebrate could be encapsulated in the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a lot wrapped up in that, and we want to again celebrate what God has done. Don't leave God out of the picture. It's what God has done in the incarnation.